Hello. Thank you. Love you guys too. It's been a little bit. As I was talking to Bernard this morning, I am very heavy-hearted for the western part of the state. When we lived in South Carolina, we would travel to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg a lot because it was like two and a half hours. And so we had season passes for Dollywood. And so, you know, we would travel that way a lot, up 26 to 40. Or we would take the scenic route and we go through Cashiers and Highlands and all that kind of stuff. So it just breaks my heart to know that those people are devastated, they've lost everything, and that it's just not what it was. So just continue to pray. Pray over the next few days, over the next few months. It's going to take not only months, but probably years, and it's never going to be the same for them. So just remember that. Sorry to start on a heavy note, but that's just been on my heart this morning. Been watching videos and reading things and shed a few tears for those folks today that we were blessed that we were not hit here. Caleb in South Carolina, he has power, so thankful for that. But there are a lot of people in that area that does not. So there's just a lot of things. And like I mentioned to Bernard, you know, who thought a hurricane supposed to be in the coast could come through and affect our mountains? So it just goes to prove that we never know what's going to happen and that our lives can change in a second. And we just have to be ready, right? So ready for God and ready for whatever, because we don't know. But anyway, let's hone back in and get back to what God's laid on my heart. So again, he always seems to change me as I'm preparing for one. And then it's like, no, think you need to talk about this. I didn't really want to talk about this because this is very personal, but that's just the way God works with me. Usually when I'm preaching to you guys, it's something very personal, something that I'm going through or have been through. So that's where we're going to be at today. So sorry, but anyway, but I'm hoping that this sermon will be transforming to you as well. I'm hoping that it'll open your eyes a little bit so that you can see what we can do and how we can, the theme for today is take it back. So how we can take back something that Satan has taken from us. I'm tired of seeing people being robbed of the abundant life that Jesus has for them. I'm tired of seeing God's people being crushed by the enemy. They're discouraged. They're selling for less than what God has for them. I'm tired of watching people be destroyed by drugs and alcohol and just letting that take their life and take their families away. I'm tired of people being destroyed by lies and deceit. And I'm tired of seeing believers who were on fire for God at one time now be just sitters watching as life goes by. We're not called to be sitters. We're called to be doers. So I'm tired of that. I'm tired of people thinking that they're not good enough. They have this fear inside of them that they can't be a teacher or they can't be somebody's mentor, or they can't do all these things because the enemy has taken that from them, and they have that fear. So if the enemy has stolen something from you, God has sent me here today to tell you that it's time to take it back. Yes. It's time to take that back. So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm taking it back. We're here today to let the these two on the front, I don't know. But no, we're here today to take back what the enemy has stole from us. And it's hard. It's so hard. But I'm gonna help you through it, still helping myself through it. Because this is a realization that I had to come to earlier in the year that it was time for me to take it back. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel today, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're going to be talking about David. I think the last time I preached here, I talked about David. But that's just where the Lord led me. And so we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And just to give you a little backstory about this. So David, you know, the guy that was anointed king, the next king of Israel, was actually hiding out. He was living out in the land of the Philistines. He'd been on the run from King Saul, the reigning king of Israel, who'd been trying to kill him. And after a long season of living on the run and escaping many attempts on his life, David actually thought if he went to live with the enemy, if he settled in the land of Philistines, that King Saul would quit looking for him and not try to kill him. After all, Saul didn't need more trouble from the Philistines than he already had. I understand David's thought process, but he was relying on himself instead of relying on God. So then the Philistines decided to go to war against Israelites. So David and his 600 men, now let's just pause there for a second. I can't imagine having 600 men follow me around, number one. But number two, they followed him into enemy territory to live. I just kind of scratched my head. I thought, that doesn't sound right. But okay, that's just how much faith they had in David. But anyway, David and his men decided to go join them. And so I'm just, again, that just throws me off. I'm like, I just don't understand that situation. So David and his men set out and marched behind the Philistine army. But I believe God was sovereign in the situation. And I believe that even though it was the leaders of the Philistine army that told their king to send David and his men back home at some point in that journey, that was God, for sure. And so they went back, they turned around and went back to their home called Ziklag, which is, that's a different name, but Ziklag. And when they arrived, they were in the shock of their life. And so that's where we're picking up. 1 Samuel 30, we're going to read verses 1 through 19, and then we're going to go back and break some of that down. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived in their town of Ziklag, they found their Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Anaham from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, you go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to a brook, Besor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued the pursuit with 400 men. Along the way, they found an Egyptian man in the field and brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, for he hadn't had anything to eat for 3 days and nights. Before long, his strength returned. "To whom do you belong and where do you come from?" David asked. "I'm an Egyptian, the slave, an Amalekite," he replied. "My master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the Keturites the territory of Judah and the land of Caleb, and we had just burned Ziklag. Will you lead me to this band of raiders?" David asked. The young man replied, "If you take an oath in God's name that you would not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them." So he led David to them, and they found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines in the land of Judah. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout the night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 young men who fled on camels. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. It's amazing, right? That he went from one extreme to the other. He went to his town, and the enemy had taken everything. David's relatives and livestock were all gone. David didn't know the status of his family. He had no clue if they were alive or dead. He just saw the destruction and knew they were gone. He wasn't sure, you know, of what was going to happen next. He looked around. He saw all of his stuff was gone. His home had just been completely destroyed, and everything was taken. The enemy had robbed David of his strength. You know, David was emotionally done as well. Verse 4 told us there that David and his men cried until they had no more strength to cry. It doesn't take a whole lot of physical and emotional strength to cry, but they were so broken, so messed up, so overwhelmed that they just had no more strength to cry. They were in shock. They were thrown into the darkest night that they had ever seen in their life. Losing everything caused them to just totally lose it, and they were in a desperate situation. The enemy had ruined his credibility with his men because they were talking about stoning him, right? The men who followed David blamed him for what had happened. And after all, it was his idea to join the Philistine army and to march toward Israel. If they hadn't been away from home, if some of the men had stayed behind, you know, to defend their families and homes, but no, David had led them all into battle, into a battle that wasn't even theirs to fight. And that was David's fault. So let's kind of look at this from our point of view. How do we take our families back? How do we take back our strength? How do we take back our reputation and credibility? In verse 6, it tells us that David was now in great danger because all the men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. They even talked about stoning him. But David found strength in his God. So how often do we wait for God to do something to help us when we could have been doing something to help ourselves? That we seek him, that we talk to him about our situation. We kind of touched on this Friday night in our table gathering. How many times do we just be still and wait for God when we need to be in motion? We need to be doing something, right? So how often do we wait for God to do it and we just sit back when we should have been seeking him? We should have been talking to him about the situation all along. So verse 6 doesn't say that the Lord strengthened David, but that David found strength in the Lord. David was proactive. He sought out the presence of God. When you've been robbed by the enemy, when the enemy has got your family, when the enemy has taken your livelihood, when the enemy's tactics have left you without strength, when your reputation and credibility has been compromised, you need to run to God. That's my first point for you today. Run to God. Don't let him come to you. You run to him as fast as you can. Run to God. You know, David had been doing things his own way. David had been leaning in his own understanding. David had been living to please himself, trying to, you know, make sure that he's not killed. He'd been making decisions without consulting God. He's even noted that during this time in his life, he was not writing psalms. No praise or worship was coming from him. Why? Because he was not living close to God. He was making his own decisions to the point he was living in enemy territory. He became very vulnerable. In his life, David's disobedience to God and disregard for God had created an opening for the enemy. David knew some stuff. He had some expertise about battles. He began to trust his own instincts, and for the most part, had proven to be reliable because he had 600 men following him. So he thought, hey, if I got all these people following me, then I'm pretty reliable, right? But he messed up. He miscalculated. And it cost him big time. It cost him and those 600 men that were following him. So you may think you can do your own thing. Go your own way. And for a while, it might be okay. For a while, you're floating along and everything is fine. You might be perceived as good at it. You may think you're invincible. You're on a roll and that everyone should follow your way of life. Because you're having fun. Nothing's going to happen, right? But don't be a fool. Don't fool yourself. There's only one with a capital O. One that can give you true success. There's only one who can give you an abundant life. There's only one who can cause us to triumph in any situation. And that's through Christ Jesus. Only through him can we have victory. So David fell, and he fell hard. He had a very heavy price to pay. The enemy robbed him blind. Everything was gone. It wasn't just a setback. It was total destruction. Like, he lost everything, and he couldn't fix it. It wasn't just an easy fix. He knew there was no one to go to but God. He had distanced himself from God. He did his own thing. But then when all else failed, when everything was destroyed, when everything was taken, he ran to God. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He ran to him because he knew that no matter what had happened, that God would give him strength. Some of you may have lost something valuable, whether it's a relationship, your self-esteem, your confidence, your trust in people, whatever it is. But there's only one way to get it back, and it starts with your relationship with the Lord. Intentionally invest in your relationship with Jesus is the foundation for all things that you can recover in your life. Coming to church is good. Coming and worshiping and hearing from God on Sunday only will leave you vulnerable Monday through Saturday. You can't just be a Christian on Sundays when you walk in the door. Because if not, you're going to be vulnerable to the enemy Monday through Saturday. You must take responsibility for your walk. I can't make you a successful Christian. You have to want to grow in the Lord. You have to want to live well. You have to want to belong to Jesus, body, mind, and spirit. You have to want to obey the word of God. You have to want to God's way to be your way. David made a decision, and he ran to God. He took initiative to reconnect with him in order that he might recover his life and his purpose. You can't make the hurt go away by yourself, but if you run to God, he will. So my second point to you is rely on God. Rely on God. David has started to believe the lie that eventually Saul would find him and kill him. He said to himself in 1 Samuel 27:1, he believed that he was doomed to be killed by Saul, and that is why he wound up fleeing to live in the land of the Philistines. That was faulty thinking. He'd been told over and over, person after person after person, even people in high places, we know that one day you will be king of Israel. God had even proved that he would protect David from Saul time and time again. Why now did David have to start believing it wasn't true? You know, if you tell yourself a lie long enough, you're going to start to believe it. And so that's what he kept believing. He kept believing all those lies. Eventually, a lie can start to sound like the truth. And David had relied on himself for life's decisions, and it led to his mind thinking that it wasn't true. When you believe in the wrong things, you act the wrong way. Scripture doesn't give us any detail about David's motives for joining the Philistine army against the Israelites. Who knows why he did it? Who knows what he was thinking? We can easily talk ourselves into a whole lot of stuff that leaves us vulnerable, right? We can be like, oh, it's okay. I'm just going to do it one time. It'll be fine. It only takes that one time for the enemy to come in and attack. So, you know, that's just the way that we think sometimes as humans. And we think we've got to have all these things because our friends have all these things, so we go steal something so we'll have more money. Or, you know, we've got a friend that, hey, they like to drink. It's okay if I drink every once in a while. Shh, just don't tell anybody. All those things, if we keep saying them over and over and over, they're lies, but we think they're truths. And we have to understand the difference between a lie and truth. Because David believed in a lie, he set himself up to be robbed of his destiny. The only way to take back what hell had stolen from him was to replace every lie in his heart and mind with the truth of God's word. And even if you don't understand everything that you read in here, because there's some things I just don't understand, I think that's why I have a lot of different translations, I have a couple different commentaries, and it is hard sometimes to understand. But you've got to read the word, you've got to get in the word. You will improve yourself with these words. When you read the word of God, you'll be cleansed of that which is evil and dark. There will be fruit, and it is worth it. And it's the only way to think the thoughts that God has for you is to be in the word and to read. You can't control everything that's thrown at you, but if you spend time, investing time in the word, then you'll have the knowledge and the power to fight off the enemy. So rely on God to help you fight off the devil when he tries to attack. And this kind of leads to my third point for you, and that is be ready to fight. Be ready to fight. In verses 7 and 8, it says, then he said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after the band of raiders, Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So David asked the priest to bring him the ephod. And the ephod was the only tabernacle-related object that David had. So in the presence of the priest, he asked God for direction. And the Lord told him to go after them. In other words, go fight for what has been taken from you. So David and his men did just that. He came across a slave, an Amalekite who had been abandoned, and he promised to help David and his men find the band of raiders. And when they found them, David rushed and slaughtered all of them. And if you notice back in the verses, it was like all night. So there was a lot of people that they had to kill. But they went in and slaughtered them, all but 400 of them, which escaped on camels. So David fought the fight, and then as we read in verses 14 and 18, David got back everything that the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. So we need to be ready to fight. We need to be ready to fight for what was taken from us. And the first step to take in order this fight is to make sure you're saved. Make sure your foundation is good. Without the Spirit of God living inside you, you are living an unprotected life. You're vulnerable every day to an attack of the enemy. Wake up to the reality that your enemy isn't the Democrat that you can't understand or that Republican you just can't deal with. Wake up to the reality that your enemy isn't the boss that you think is unfair or demanding, or that your coworkers you just can't seem to satisfy. Wake up to the reality that your enemy isn't the spouse you live with, the parent that's trying to protect you, or the sibling you think is just hogging the spotlight. Wake up to the reality that your enemy isn't the kid at school who's poking fun or trying to make you look bad. Realize your enemy is the devil himself. Pray about that boss. You know, pray for the boss. Pray for the kid at school. Pray for your coworker. We're supposed to pray for our enemies, right? Pray that the dark and evil power that's prompting and provoking those people to do that to you, pray for them. Pray the powers of evil be broken in their lives. We wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of hell itself. Pray the darkness will be exposed. Walk in truth and be prepared to witness for God in the midst of any battle. God is greater than anything that we face. We forget that when we're in the middle of the battle. He is greater than anything that we face. People need to know it and they need to see it in your life. So get ready to fight. Recovery is ahead. Resolve to recover whatever it is that the enemy has stolen. Take initiative with the enemy. I mentioned taking initiative to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You also need to get bold and take initiative with the enemy. You can't hide in the corner and just wait for things to work out. You've got to get aggressive. We also mentioned Friday night, we got to be active, not passive. We got to get aggressive. You have to determine that you're going in and you're going to recover whatever it is that Satan has stolen from you. Amen. We need to not only stand against our enemy, but we need to go after what is ours. It's one thing to stand against, but it's another thing to go toward and fight for it. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 tells us, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Today, the devil tries to steal our joy, our peace, our security, our hope. John 10:10 tells us that thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So my question to you is, what point did the enemy break in and steal your joy, your hope, and your purpose? Think about that. At what point did he? At some point in your life, he has. He may not be right now. You may have fought and won everything back. But then there's somebody in this room that's fighting a battle. There can't be a group of us right now that there's somebody not fighting a battle. So at what point did the enemy break in and steal all that? Steal your life from you. Give you a personal story because I told you this is pretty personal to me. So I think everyone in here knows we were gone for a couple of years, moved back in August from South Carolina. The devil really attacked me really, really hard when we were gone. And it was hard. Even to the point of walking away from ministry. He had convinced me that I was not good enough, that this was not my calling, and shouldn't be doing it. So I gave up. I really had come to the point, and I even talked to my son Caleb about it. I was like, I just don't think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I had neglected myself, taking some of the guilt myself, is spending time with God I was not doing like I should. And I just felt like a failure. Felt like a failure as a wife, as a parent, and more importantly, as a child of God. But then Eli was in the hospital in February for a week. And that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever been through with him. And it was from that I really felt like God was leading us back here. I felt like that God, he talked to me and he helped us through that situation and really felt like that it was time for us to come home to be with our family. And so it was during a lot of our trips back and forth, because you guys saw us quite a bit before we moved. We were back and forth a lot of weekends. And most of the time I was in the car by myself on the drive up from South Carolina, North Carolina. So I'm by myself. I usually turn the music really loud and sing and worship. And it seemed like every time I was in the car, this song, Take It All Back from Torn Wills, would come on. And so I would sing loudly and not very welly. I know that's not a word, my teachers, but welly. But I would not sing. I was very loud. But that song, every time I was in the car driving from South Carolina to North Carolina, it came on. Every single time. And so God spoke to me through this. And I want to read a few of the words from the song. But it says, fears got me living with the lights out, chained down like a prisoner in my own house. Shame cycles like a daily medication. I try, but I can't change my situation. Because the liar comes to rob my joy. Yeah, I'm bruised, but I'm not destroyed. I'm rising like an army, and you're going to hear the sound. I'm calling the angels down. Tell the devil he don't own my soul. I'm taking back what the enemy stole. I'm taking my peace back, taking my joy back, taking it all back. I'm taking back what the enemy stole. So I sang that a lot, and God was there. I felt him so heavily. I was like, okay, I get it. It's time for me to step up and take back what the devil has stolen, because he stole a lot. He stole my self-confidence. He stole my joy for the Lord. He just stole it all. I never doubted God. I knew God was always there. But if you knew me before, I was more of a, you know, I wanted to be around people and I was happy. I definitely lost my joy. Trying to find it. Still a work in progress. Become very introverted. I'm trying to get better. So if I'm a little different towards you, it's not you, it's me. I'm trying to find it. I'm still trying to take back what was stolen from me. So I know there are many of you here today that want your peace back, that want your joy back. You want your security back. You want your hope back. It's time to take it back. It's time for you to run to God so that we can find that strength in the Lord like David did. Fully rely on God and his truths and promises that are in his word, because they're all over his word. Get ready to fight. You can't do this just sitting still in the corner waiting for him. You know, God told David he would recover everything that was taken. That same God that told David that tells us that as well. He's here. He lives within us. And he will do that. He will take back. He will help us take back what the enemy has stolen. So a few months ago when I heard that Torn Wells song, on my trip, I decided to take it back. Again, like I told you, I'm still in that process of taking it all back. I want to take back what the devil took from me and my family. So how about you? Are you ready to take back what the enemy has stolen from you? Are you ready to get your joy back? Are you ready to take a stand in this dark world that keeps getting darker? You got to take a stand. You got to run, rely on God, and get ready to fight. Because you're worth it. You're worth it. The worship team will come on up. I'm going to open up the altar for everybody. Because I know there's people here that are fighting battles. Some I know about and some that I don't. But I want to open the altar up and let you just come. Run to him. And let him help you. Let him help you fight the battle that you're fighting. Again, I don't know everybody's stories. I know what I'm fighting. But I know that there's other people here that are fighting as well. Join me in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to come here and worship. We thank you, Lord, that we're never alone. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're fighting, we know that you're right there beside of us. So I just thank you, Lord, that you give us a chance to win back what was lost. We just thank you, Lord, that you love us regardless of where we are, and that no matter what we're going through, no matter what has happened in our lives, no matter what's been taken, that you will go with us. We run to you, we rely.